From the front lines.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KTYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Chris.
Well, welcome to the Bleed Blue Show. Here I am. This is your boy, the professor himself, saying hello, reporting from the crib, basically, where everybody else is in the fun and the sun drinking all my goddamn cognac down in Miami. Earlier today, I had a chance to see everybody, all the guys and girls dressed up in blue, and it made my day. That was an exciting, that 10 minutes was the most exciting part of the New York Giants day, because we weren't playing yet. But once we started playing, we didn't play that bad at first either. But, hey, look, we dropped the 4-8. You know what it is. I didn't see the last 111 of the game, and I don't think I've missed very much. There are still about 9 seconds left. I don't think I'm still missing very much. But we've just lost to the Miami Dolphins officially. Not officially, almost damn near officially, 20-9. We're going to talk. We're going to talk in a few minutes. I see Dre Graham has already called in. I know Carl is here somewhere. I know my boy Steve, who I really appreciate. Well, when he comes on, I'm gonna thank him for his call earlier today with all the Bleed Blue faithful. But hey, man, it is what it is. You know, there's no need to hold your head low. We do. This is what we do. We play it on our heart's content. There were some things that could have gone differently today. Yeah, true. But they didn't. And we dropped the 4-8, as I stated before. The number is 929-477-4171. It's nice to be on again, though. I get to hear my people, so that's a great thing. I'm gonna go around the room real quick because I want to see who's here. And I see some numbers that I don't recognize. I know this is my lady, though. This is Lady Blue. Hey. Don't say nothing. Don't say nothing. I want it in 3 minutes. I'm gonna give you the floor. Hold on. Wait a minute. I'll be right back. Either this is my boy Steve or this is my boy Carl. I'm not sure. Who am I talking to? Azul! Thank you, sir. How are you, man? Thank you very much, for today. I'm great.
Oh, yeah,
great.
No problem.
I'm going around the room, but I got to ask you some few questions in a minute. I'll be right back. Carl, okay. Are you on the line, sir?
Hey, good afternoon, Chris. How are you?
Oh, my man. Thank you. I knew this was you. or as Miss Parker said when I stole that cat out of her yard when I was 7, I knew that was you, boy. I knew it. So, yeah, I'll be right back. One second, Carl. I'll be right back. I'm just trying to get everybody on. Who am I speaking to right now with this number? Who might this be? Your phone just clicked unmute. Okay, maybe it's a ghost. We don't know yet. Dre Graham, good afternoon, sir.
What's good, man? Hey, I got a question for everybody. Not right now. Yeah, not right now, but I got a question for everybody next go round.
Oh, well, okay, good, because we're going to use it. Give it to me now so I can give it. I can make it the first question. What's the question?
The question is, it's not really towards the stakeholders on here, because I know we know better than that. But this is for people that listen to the podcast, you know, from when you posted that has something to say about Garrett getting fired. Okay, I want to know, would you rather have a creative offense that don't score no points or a vanilla offense that do score points?
Say the question one more time. I heard you, but you got some drunk people behind you. Say one more time so everybody on the line can hear it.
Okay. The question is, would you rather have a creative offense that doesn't score points or a vanilla offense that score points?
Okay, got it. Thank you, Dre. I'll be back soon. The number is 929-477-4171. This is the Bleed Blue Show. You know we are – oh, the video highlights are off the chain for the past two shows with the Rangers and the Knickerbockers. check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, The Bleed Blue Show, The Bleed Blue Show, The Bleed Blue Show. If you write in Bleed Blue Show in one word, you'll see us. We're right there. That's the stakeholders that are all draped in blue. Oh, all right. Azu, we're going to – hey, I know you got to get back, man. So give us some assessment.
What's going on, man?
Tell us what you saw. And and also, you heard that question for Dre Graham. So hit me up.
Okay, answer Dre's question. As far as offensive coordinator situation, it's kind of hard to say with the personnel, but it looked really bad out there today. So I would want effective offensive play calling, just execute better. And that's what I didn't see today, even with the backup quarterback in there. He just missed throws. And then players missed catches. The Evan hit the dog sound, man. I just started to say his name. He dropped that pass. I said, yeah, this is not going to be our day. The second half of the game, Billy Box sat next to me, and we were just watching missed throws, missed catch, you know, drop passes. So the question, the answer to Dre's question is not necessarily about the type of, you know, the offense or whatever ideology. It's more about the execution of the plays. And Glennon is the reason why he's a backup quarterback. He's the reason why he's a backup. He stinks. You know what I'm saying? So missed throws, missed catches. And let me catch you something real quick. I had a really good view on Will Hernandez today. He's got to go. Will Hernandez was terrible. And when I mean terrible, I mean even on plays we have positive, the few plays that we have positive plays, like, you know, running or he can't even get down. He doesn't even touch nobody. Like he doesn't put hands on players, gets to the next level, totally misses guys. What happened to Will Hernandez, man? We have to look into this one, man. We have to look into the lack of pass blocking or even run blocking. And Will Hernandez, I thought, you know, when he was coming out of Texas El Paso, I thought he was going to be that guy, be a mauler, and he clearly has got to go. There's no way he comes back. There's no way. You move him from left guard. You move him all over in the interior line. And he doesn't hit nobody. He doesn't put no hands on nobody. So that's one of the main things I saw today, just you're really honing down on our offensive line. And it's just even down like 4 points, it felt like we were down like 17-20. It's like we can't do nothing in the red zone. Can't convert. And then when they were going to Galladay early and it was working, and then it went away from him. And then they, for whatever reason, they kept on dragging Galladay into double coverage and trying to force the passes in there. Crazy. Oh, one more guy we got to get on his ass too is Slayton. Slayton has regressed. Slayton has progressed, man. Terrible. You could just tap me out on the clock right now because I'm going back to the tailgate, link up with the stakeholders. We're going to have a good time the rest of this day. That's why I probably was the only one on the platform who put up the four on Miami today, right? I think I'm probably the only one who put a four on Miami on the picks. Hey, I did not see us winning today. So it is what it is. So I can't be mad because I had the confidence that Miami's going to win. So it is what it is. Swami.
We're going to have to call you Swami Azul from now on. You saw that coming.
All right. I'm going to sit back and go on mute. I'll wait for my turn to, when it's my time to speak, I'm going to go on mute. Go ahead, guys, and fire away, man. Good to hear from you. Oh, the video. You like that video, right?
I loved the video. Not liked it, loved it.
I don't think a lot of people know on the line with the video. Just tell them, you know, about the video, and I'll go on mute. Go ahead, man. And thank you, man.
All right, no problem. That's Azul, everybody. The great Azul, the host of the Bleed Blue Show. Oh, man, I saw Steve called me early today with the on video messenger, man, and I must have saw, I think, about 10 or 11 stakeholders, frontliners, all draped in that wonderful blue color we have, all the camaraderie and friendship, and it was all smelling through the air. I got Stevie to show the picture of the cooler, man, where all the drinks were. It's just, I was so mad I wasn't there, man. I was so upset. I should have been down there right now just getting totally polluted amongst my brethren. Anyway, we got to do that more often. I will definitely go to more games next year. This has been a tough year for all of us, basically. But one of the people I'm definitely going to see next year is the lady down in Jacksonville, originally from Jersey. She's, I think, at NYG Love 516. I think that's it. I could be wrong, but I'll let her tell you because she's on for 3 minutes. Here's the Lady Blue.
At NYLUV 516. That's okay. Hey, in a way, I really wish I could have been there today, but in a way, I'm glad I wasn't because I would have been the motherfucker that would have jumped on the field and tackled Joe Judge, okay? I would have been hauled out of the game in handcuffs because I would have jumped on the field and tried to tackle the coach because I don't understand. The time management was, like, so piss poor, and it's getting worse per game. I don't get it. The play calling is supposed to get better, but it's not. We can't – I mean, no wonder why we're last in red zone. We can't do a goddamn thing. Today just – I had a feeling we were going to lose. I mean, I was hopeful. I really was. But, you know, I mean, and then when they started talking about the other teams only being in their third year of rebuild, and I'm like, well, shit, we're in our 10th, and we still haven't done a damn thing. I mean, I'm just, you know, to take a page out of Kristen's book, I'm madder than hell, okay? I mean, it was just, I'm tired. I mean, being a lifelong lifer like we've been, I'm tired. Yeah. I'm really tired of this insanity bullshit. I mean, I don't understand. The owners have got to do something. I mean, and number 33, what's his name, Robinson? Holy crap,
oh,
what is he chasing, ghosts out there? Oh, my God,
Billy
it's
Bob
like he was chasing ghosts. But I agree with Steve. Hernandez looked like a goddamn turnstile. I mean, he didn't touch anybody. I don't know what the hell his problem was. He was just like... which way did he go? I mean, it was horrendous. It really, really was. And yes, you and I talked about Slayton and how bad he was getting and Barkley with drop passes. I mean, it was just, it looked like the football follies out there. It really was. It was horrendous. But, you know, we still come on here week after week. We still love our team. We still vent and bitch and complain. But you know what? We know what the hell is wrong with the team. Why can't the team? I don't get it. I don't know if it's execution.
You know what?
I don't know if
what you just said. What you just said. We know what. Say that one part again. We know what the hell's wrong with the team. Say that again. That one more.
Yeah,
one more
we
time,
as the stakeholders, we know what's wrong with the team. Why can't the team figure it out?
Okay, right there. That right there, Dre Graham. That's the. I'm going to co-sign with Lady Blue, and that's our answer to your question. Right there. That's the answer. Because, like, you alluded to, no, if we know what the fuck's wrong with the team, why the fuck don't they know? That's the answer.
They do know. Mara is just too hard-headed to do something about it.
Mara
He's
don't
set in his ways. That's what it is.
Is an idiot. Yes, you're right about that part. So I might have to go back on that one. Yeah, because you know what? This is a unified shit show. I said to myself, I'm going to start off the show with a very positive angle. But you know what? Steve said it all when he was on that. This is pretty much a unified shit show. We'll take a look at that. But right now, I want to just concentrate on the game and figure out where the hell we go from here. Carl, at the C note, the band himself, Billy Bob, is going to come on. So Carl, give it to me, man.
Do you want to just go to Billy Bob first since he's out there and then come back to me? Do you want to go ahead and do that to save him some time just in case?
Okay, let's see if he's in his feelings right quick. Are you in your feelings, sir?
Buddy, oh, yes, I am, buddy. I'm always in my feelings. Let me tell you my feelings at all, bro. Bro.
Man, give it to me.
Let me tell you why I'm in my feelings, dog. It's just like the most beautiful thing to see these faces out here today. From Steve, all of them. It was just like seeing their face. It was like I don't know. You ain't got no choice but to get in your feelings. So it's like I don't even have no feelings for the game because I just think I became numb to that. We all came numb to that when we were just sitting there watching it. But the goodest feeling is just going back to the tailgate to just go, just hang out some more. I'm being real with y'all. I mean, that's the highlight of the day for me, just to get back and just vibe with the people that's here, out here right now. I mean, I want to talk so much on the game, and it's bad, but let me do it like this here, because I gotta make sure I come out like this. Listen, I know I've been standing on my defense, and today the defense played pathetic today. Because it was a very easy formula for them to stop. Stop the short passes, and you can stop the run game, which they didn't do. They just beat us with short passes, run game, like I thought they was. It was so sad. I didn't even see none of the linemen jump, none of that. I'm upset at my defense for letting that go down. Because it was like, to see that from the offense, you usually get to the point where you just like, we just need a new offensive coordinator. That's just bad. It's just sad because even with the players out there, you thought the Giants should have did more than what they were supposed to do. But I'm just going to stay on the defense because I know I've been standing behind the defense all year. For them to put out that output on defense, I didn't like it not one bit. As far as that, I mean, and just watching the offense up close, it's sad, y'all.
I know.
So you can sit here and see. You can sit here and see. Let me tell y'all why I say this. You got the Miami Dolphins that's not going to throw no deep passes. And the best deep pass they're going to throw is a back shoulder pass. My far back didn't make no sense. They don't have a speed threat that's going to go down the field. You can say Waddle, but all Waddle's going to do is catch short passes all day and just keep grinding.
Right. Right. So, all right. You still there, man? Did you leave me? He might have left. Okay. It's all good. It's all good. I got the gist of it, man. Oh, man. You know what? It's funny. Lady Blue, when you get the NT and Carl and Dre, you guys on here, when you get the skinny right from the cats that you know, you pretty much know their assessment of football, and they are sitting right there giving it back to you, you know, as far as what they observe, that shit hurts even more than watching it on the tube in your man cave. Oh, just sorry, that's fine. Oh, man. Well, Carl, what you think, man? What you think? Ask the C-Notes, ladies and gentlemen, is on the line.
Well, I mean, the offense looked about the same as we've seen it, whether Glennon was there or whether Jones was in there. You know, I think when you look at the two quarterbacks, you know, Glennon sees the field well, but he's just not talented enough to make the throws. Conversely, when Jones is playing, he has an issue seeing the field but can make the throws. So it's almost like the inverse of when you're watching both guys play, as you saw today. You know, he's a career backup, as Steve said. You know, not much would have changed. You know, he threw – and I'll talk about this particular thing a little bit later on. But the run blocking, as we've seen, outside of those two plays where Saquon got, I think, a 23-yard run and Booker on the next play got a 15- or 16-yard run, run blocking, about the same as we've always seen it. The receivers, they dropped too many passes. And that hit me on the next part. Barkley had two drops today that directly led to punts. Does it look to me – is it just me, or does Barkley drop in an inordinate amount of passes? Is it just
they
me?
Also were both, They were both first downs, Carl.
Yeah. Now, the play to Engram. Now, I don't know if on that, if Glennon's pass was bad or Engram ran a bad route. That I don't know. It both look bad. So that's part of – that's why I'm not going to blame 88 on that. It looked like both
of
them.
Carl, real quick, it's Lady Blue. I actually rewound that and played it in slow-mo back. Yes, it was a little bit of combination of both, but it was a bad pass because it was behind him. Engram tried to get the pass. Yeah, but no, that was on Glennon.
Okay, that's what I thought. It looked to me as if both of them were equal or almost at fault for that. So that's why I didn't want to blame one or the other. I thought both of them were equally bad in terms of that. Now, two things here. Okay, actually three. The timeout situation. They use a timeout at the end of the first quarter while the clock is going to expire anyway to end the quarter, and they call timeout. I don't know what that was about. And then in the third quarter, after as part of the worst drive ever, okay, after the 13-yard sack loss that they got on that play there, they call a timeout for whatever reason, reasons unknown. We'll hope to find out. I don't know what that was about.
Because Joe Judge looked like he was there. That's what happened.
I don't know. And then.
That's what Joy, that's what it was. He said, come here. Fuck that. Get up, call.
Oh, my God. And then.
He did.
And you know I've been getting, and you know I've been on this. I've been on this now for 2 years. Fourth and two, after the Engram, Glennon, whatever you want to call it. After that, fourth and two at the Dolphins' 48-yard line. You decide to punt the ball? Seriously? Chris Myers was on that. He was doing the broadcast on Fox. He was on that the second half. He's like, what are you thinking? You're 4-7. What do you know? Why are you punting the ball? Moose was trying to, like, justify it for some strange reason. And that was not, you could not justify that decision. Now, the worst drive ever, okay? We had one last week, but apparently we're just trying to top ourselves now. Sack for loss of 13. Timeout called. Sack for loss of 7. Coverage sack. I'm not going to blame Thomas on that. Delay of game on what? So where Meyer said, I wrote down when he said, this is reaching the point of embarrassment. Chris, we're way past that, okay? I mean,
yes.
Now, remember, last week on the show, we had folks that were called in and said that the Giants seem to be taking more deep shots. Okay, well, you saw that today. Galladay deep, intercepted. Second time, Galladay to the end zone, double coverage, nearly intercepted. Are those the shots that we're talking about? Because they did it. They did exactly what the folks who called in last week asked. Those are the results. If you want to see more of that? Have at it. But to me, those are not worthy plays to be calling and running, thinking, oh, Galladay's just going to go up against two defenders and make the play. I'm sorry. Please stop. No. 42 drives they've had in the last, I think it's now three games. 42 drives, 3 touchdowns, 9 field goals. Hey, I mean, that says it all right there. And Hernandez on the play where the play got blown up, Hernandez had one job, and that was to block Phillips coming off the edge. That was the only job.
He whiffed
on that one. I mean, what are we doing here? Now, before I go to Dre Graham, when we spoke, Chris, when we were chatting, I sent you a picture of a hamster going up a wheel and not going anywhere. That symbolizes what we have seen the last 7 or 8 weeks now. They have alternated wins and losses over that period of time. When they win, we say things are turning around. And then they lose, and we're right back to this. We are essentially stuck in neutral. Now, where does that take us?
Well, can I answer it this way? Every morning after I do my meditation, I go on to my social media page and I give what you call a great rising, it's called, right? And this morning I wrote that it's a blessing to see a new day. And people started, instead of responding on the post, they started calling me and saying, thank you. I needed that, you know, attitude of mind adjustment. And I appreciated that, you know. I think, Carl, we need to see that with our football team. We need a complete – I'm sorry, I'm not going – listen, this is how this works. This is a show, the post game, about this game, roundtable about this game, about the Dolphins, what we just witnessed. It's not about the organization and Gettleman and all that other bullshit. But
– I agree with you.
But when you win, you have a tendency – and I'm talking about sitting from this chair, and I'm pretty sure Azul probably feels the same way. When you win, you have a tendency to exalt and talk about what you've just seen. When you lose, you always talk about you always regress to the organization and who's at fault. And you don't mean to do that, but it just comes naturally. And as long as we are reliving that proverbial hamster on the wheel situation, which is what we're doing, it seems, every fucking week, then this is how it's going to be, man. We need to change it. This is a bad team, man. Okay? It's just a fucking really bad team. And
yeah,
it's
a bad situation, and it's going to be even worse
all the way around.
And Dre and mm-hmm. and Lady Blue, it's going to be even worse because I believe, based on what has happened this week and the rumor that had come out initially, I don't believe the quarterback is playing another game the rest of the season. I know they're not saying it right now, but I am that initial rumor that was out there, I totally believe it. I don't think he's playing another game this season, and that has a much larger effect on what we have seen this season because we would have learned nothing from the end of Week 17 of last year till the last game of the season is played this year. We would have learned nothing at all.
That's good. That's good because I don't think Lewis Riddick would put up with it. 929-477-4171. Carl at the C-Note. Thank you very much. Dre, I'm on my way back to you, but I have to put Billy Bob back on real quick because he's got 30 seconds on the clock. So, bro, give me your 30 seconds on the clock.
Hello. Oh, okay, I'm here. Okay, all right, listen. No, Carl, you made some good points, bro.
Carl made some great points. He did.
Oh, Kenny Golladay, he was double guarded. He was double guarded, and it was like he was running right in towards the double team. So it's just like it was being force fed, and the one that he could have got Darius Slayton, Ben and Glennon were supposed to just throw that one. A lot of drop ball, and just to be getting that. And listen, we're starting to come up with too many.
I'll still be out here.
And then another thing I start to see, man. Listen, clocked out. After the second half, it's like he just clocked out. It's half man running. It was like no fool. And like I'm running to go get this ball. It was more like I'm clocked out. I'm done for the day. So it's like a lot of things we see. Like y'all think, hey, listen, to see us like take a step forward and take like five steps backwards, man. That's what the Giants just did today. And I really think ever since that Dallas win, you guys Philadelphia. I think they just clocked in. They was happy to come down to Florida, bro. That's all I'm seeing, man. It was like the Giants. I ain't seen. It was like. It was like a big clog in the office again. And it's like, yep. They probably need a whole new voice. It's like a big clog. It's like, we're going to be beating
Thank
our
you.
Heads. Hey, listen, for real, y'all, we're going to be beating our head over the same thing, yelling about the same thing, because just to go in there and see that, it didn't even matter if Jason Garrett was there. I said this was an audition for Freddie Kitchens to try it with another quarterback, at least prove that he can coach, and then seeing that there, they didn't even try to find like a hot player to go to. Like, feature this person, feature that person. We don't have none of that going. It's like, they just came out there and just said, hey, we just here to play football, and that was it. And then whatever we get, we get. And then, yeah, it's a slap in the face when you just watching this and seeing this here. With the type of team we have, that just didn't make no sense, man. It just really, it bothered me. It hurt.
Man, Billy Bob, man. By the way, man, it was great to see you today for the first time ever, man. You know, next time.
No, that's all love, yeah.
I want to see some blue stuff on you, man.
Say again?
Hello?
Say that again. You went in and out.
I want to see some blue stuff on you next time.
Hey, listen, I had the blue stuff on me. I just went with a black shirt. I don't know why I did that because I don't know. But listen. I'm bleeding blue all over, man. It's on my pants, but I'm bleeding. No, I know. But listen.
We know you, Bob.
I love
know
y'all,
you,
man.
All right, love you back,
Billy Bob,
man. Well,
you're wearing black. You're in black because you're in mourning for our team.
Pretty much.
Woo!
Did Billy Bob have to wear a name tag at the tailgate today so everybody knew who he was?
He was looking all like he was getting ready to start his old flick and everything, man. He looking good. He was looking good.
See? I knew because the way Steve introduced him to me. He was like, Dre, you know who this is? I was like, oh, he in his feelings. Yeah. So that's how I knew. But other than that, I'm putting the news. Steve gave it away.
All right. 929-477-4171. That was Billy Bob. Dre, keep talking, man. Look, man. There's no real way to answer that question.
I said this stat. I think at the beginning of the season, because they said it while we was playing. Do y'all
Manny
not
dog
realize?
Stand by, you and next. Go ahead, continue.
Do y'all not realize the quarterback that was just playing that took Daniel Jones' place? They they did a stat, and the stat was active quarterbacks in the league today as active. Our backup quarterback was number one as far as losing record. He was the worst win percentage in the whole NFL of active quarterbacks. Daniel Jones was number four. And I said, how the hell is our first string quarterback and our backup quarterback in the top five is worst win percentage in the league? Like, what? That don't make no sense, man. That's like that. It's impossible to do that and screw that up. That had to be done on purpose. I don't know. Now, what made me ask that question was exactly what Carl said. I didn't hear it from, you know, the stakeholders per se, like you, Steve, Lady Blue, none of us. But I heard when Kitchen first came in, oh, yeah, the pass is going to go down the field more. And Steve told me yesterday, he was like, Dre, why do you even be on them giant groups? I was like, because they idiots in there, and I like to, you know, make them look like idiots. So I got into an argument last week. Oh, we're going to go deep. I said, okay, Daniel Jones can't read defenses good. He can throw the deep ball. I said, so you want us to go more deep where the safety's going to sit there and bait him into throwing throws because he can't read the defense? That's going to end up with more interceptions. Like, what are you talking about? Are you even thinking before you talk? Or are you playing Madden right now? I tell them all the time, you must be playing PlayStation Madden. You got to be. They all put Fromm in. I'm like, Fromm came to the team four days ago. What are you talking about? What are you going to run, four plays? It's not Madden. You can't just throw a quarterback in there and the shit gel and he learn the plays. Oh, well, Daniel Jones can learn to play. Daniel Jones been in the system for 3 years. What are you talking about? Like, idiots, man. Idiots. Luckily, I ain't got no high blood pressure off of them, man. But the thing that I didn't like, and Carl brought it up, okay, Barkley runs for a 23-yard gain, whatever. Booker comes back, runs for a 16 to 18-yard. It might have been a little bit. It was a first down. First down, back-to-back. Then you come right back. No. Then you come right back and hand the ball off. Why not play action that? Different offensive coordinator, but same result. Why wasn't that a play action? We should have play action that because we was killing them with the run. They would have jumped the run. And you know who would have been open? I don't know if he would have caught it, but Evan Ingram would have been open if we would have play action it. But we ran the ball. I don't know, man. It's mine, but I don't even think about it no more. Like, it is what it is.
There's like, nothing we can't to describe the anymore, though, really, Dre, man.
We know what it is. We can't make owner. We can't make the organization do it.
No.
So.
You know what? We can't. But at the same time, you know, and I'm going back to Carl a little bit when I say this, man. Look, Manny Dawes and DB and I always, every goddamn day. What the hell is fucking wrong here? When we're seeing shit 2020, how come nobody over there in that organization does? And you just alluded to Steve just alluded to it. Billy Bob just alluded to it. Lady Blue just alluded to it. And Carl went deep in it. There's got to be it's a systematic situation here that is just, I'm sorry, I have to use this term, it's truly fucked up in this organization, man.
We just can't
get it together. I can't believe we didn't even score a touchdown today.
Well, listen, Chris, you know what we need? We need to be in the same situation as Green Bay. And what I mean by that is the NFL doesn't own that team. The town does. See what I'm saying?
How can we put
that in a predicament where the town pulls the strings?
I know exactly what we need to do.
Because that's what they told me to do.
I know exactly the person to answer it. But before I say that, 929-477-4171 is the post-game roundtable. Talking about the loss that we incurred today to the Miami Dolphins. We are 4-8. Check us out, Facebook and Instagram. What's the other one? Twitter, the whole nine yards, Bleed Blue Show, Bleed Blue Show, Bleed Blue Show, Bleed Blue Show. Here's the guy to answer it. Manny Dawson.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon,
answer
sir.
Answer that question.
I don't want to answer the question.
you plead the fifth. I plead the fifth. I don't even want to talk about it.
I'm going to give y'all an analytical response. I'm keeping my emotions out of it, man. I'm keeping them completely out of it, right? And it's going to answer that question. The Giants, in their offensive play calling for however long, right? If it was Garrett, now it's Kitchens. It could be the Pillsbury Doughboy. Don't matter. They cannot compete outside the tackles. I want you to think about every time we run outside the tackles, what it look like. The only time we try to attack outside the tackles, they run screen. When they try to do a toss, it's a loss. Saquon Barkley had 4 catches for -3 yards. 4 catches, not 4 carries. 4 catches for -3 yards. The Giants don't have, if you look at the Giants on paper, skill players and the type of speed that we got on that team is lights out. So you go back, you go, okay, if you build from the outside in, you say, I need some burners at receiver. Check. I need a tight end that can stretch the field, who can, you know, do some things as a receiver. Check. I need a lights-out running back that can blow past anybody. Check. Now we get to the nitty-gritty. Now we get to the nitty-gritty, right? And every week this year, not just this week, every week, the one skill position that you need to be productive is that QB position. We don't have a guy there. Right? We got an average quarterback at best who's a starter, and then today you saw what happened. He started off really hot. He got hurt. He didn't play well. After that, after he got hurt, he didn't play well. Then once you put all those skill positions together, you go, okay, now what do we do to make sure we can get these guys the ball? You put a formidable offensive line out there. We don't have that. We have a very good defense. We have a very good defense. And they showed up again today. But this falls on the offense. Last week, terrible, abysmal offensive showing falls on the offense. All year, it has fallen on the offense. Now, no, I can't say that. Not all year. The first quarter of the year, the offense played decent, and the defense was trash. But over the last, I'll say, 5 weeks, the defense has been on point, and the offense has been abysmal because we can't block. Look at our run game. We're only running in between the tackles because our tackles can't get into space. So at this point, you blow it up. You got to blow it up. You can't keep pushing the same buttons. It ain't going to work. I don't care who you have back there. If we had a great quarterback back there, he can't win with that line. You just can't. That's it. That's all I got.
Gotcha. That's the answer. That's Manny Dawson, everybody. Oh, man. Azul, no, he left. Azul's gone. I guess it's just us, family. Anyway.
Can I ask Manny Dawson a question?
You most certainly can.
So Manny, you were just mentioning about the running outside the tackles. I was talking about this last week, actually. I don't know if you were there with us. And I mentioned that, you know, the Giants almost never run the ball outside. But we talk about Andrew Thomas as a foundation player. Why do you think that they don't run outside with him as the anchor?
When you schematically looking at Andrew Thomas, you can try to run outside of him, but who's next to him? That's the problem. When you got leaks in the interior,
You can't get to the outside. And then so you can't run right either because Solder is the worst of them all. The interior part of the line and the right outside part of the line is terrible. So if you go from left guard to right tackle, they're bad. Andrew Thomas, I don't think is a the type of the praises that he's been getting for it was damn near close to Orlando Pace. He is far from that. So I think he's a good left tackle. I think he's a very serviceable left tackle. But when it's leaking from inside, you can't run. You can't run to the outside because you're going to get backdoor pressure. And whether it be Booker or Barkley, they do a lot of cutback stuff. You can't do it because you got the leaks in the back or coming from the backside. It's just not going to work. We can't get to the outside.
I agree with you 100%.
Okay. It made sense to me, too. That's a relevant thing.
I'm be real with y'all. Looking at Saquon straight up, it's looking like this dude is running in quicksand. This dude might be overweight. Y'all may not be looking at it like that. Saquon is overweight to where it's to the point that he's like running in quicksand, y'all. I'm just being real with y'all. I ain't trying to say the line got to be blocking perfectly, bro. But there's times when you're looking at Saquon and be like, bro, you're not moving. You're not going nowhere. Even with you stutter stepping, it's making it worse because it's like he's in deep quicksand. I'm just watching him live. I'm sorry, y'all. There's no burst in that. Y'all can tell me he came off that, but I don't see none of it. Just, man, listen, Saquon looking like he's running in quicksand big time.
Wow.
To Billy Bob's point, I don't know if Billy Bob remembers this play. There was a play where they ran a touch pass with him where Saquon was lined up as a wide receiver, and they tossed him the ball going to the right side. And when you saw the play afterwards, you could tell that there was nowhere on the – like there was no outside lane for him to go to. So basically the only way the play was even going to work, even just halfway decent, was if he took either no gain or 1 yard going to the right – between the right guard and the right tackle. But instead, he bounced it outside for a 5 yard loss.
Carl, oh my goodness, you just called it out. Well, if that's not a key, hey, Carl, you called it out. There you go right there. That's what I'm exactly talking about. There was nowhere to go but to just say what you said. Go between the tackles, just duck head, and just get 1 or 2 yards. We'll live with it. But for him to perform that and walk back and run backwards, these are the type of plays I'm talking about. It's just some plays that you just got to say you got to live with, just duck your head and go. Go ahead.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. I had a question, and y'all messed it up because I was listening to y'all, and I forgot to write it down. But, wow. You know what? I do remember that play. You know what? Do you think – let me ask you guys something. Do you think that he's thinking too much because he's been gone for a minute and he's at the rehab and all, so he's had all these –
Can I answer that?
Yeah. Can I answer that? Yeah. Yeah.
If you look at both him and Booker averaged 6 today. Barkley averaged 5.5. So it was 1155 yards, 5 yards catch. When a running back, I used to be a running back. When you're a running back, and you're that type of running back, and you are trying, you've always been known to, you know, work on your burst and your speed and all that. One, he is coming off an injury, but two, where's the lane? He's trying to find a lane. Both of them do. Booker does it too. Watch how much they chop before they hit the lane. Just go back, watch the film, watch how much they chop. If you go back to one play, on that one play on the outside, yep, 100%, he could have probably did something different. But what was the when you say that he could have probably turned up and maybe got a 1 yard loss or 1 yard maybe gain or back to the line of scrimmage, at that point, we split in hairs. The bigger issue is, why is that only a possible 1 yard loss? You understand? It's not like he's missing a hole and it's like, oh, that's a touchdown he makes that cut. We're talking about the difference between a 5 yard loss and a 1 yard loss. We got to look at it for what it is. If you got every running back, they get in the ball, and they cha-cha sliding before they hit in the hole, there's not a hole. There's not a hole. And the Giants don't have Carl Banks alluded to this on the broadcast. They don't have the scheme. They can't run a zone-blocking scheme, which means you don't have the speed as an O-line or the footwork to run a zone-blocking scheme, which would be the maximum to maximize Saquon Barkley and even Booker, too, their skill set, zone blocking. We don't have that.
Wow. Okay. Is that a good enough answer for anybody? Is that a good enough answer for me? You know what, man? It's another show that we're going to have to do when we discuss what the hell we do with this going forward from here. But this season is done. You know, we've exhausted just about everything that we knew. We thought, look, coming into this game, we were optimistic about something. You know, there was the unknown with Glennon. The fact that if you play fantasy football like I do, you'll see that Barkley was trending all over the place. You felt optimistic for the secondary. You just knew something was going to pop, man, and be right, but it didn't. It just didn't. And I don't even know what the answers are anymore, man. I've just only been a Giant fan my entire life. So, I don't know. Anybody else got any solutions? Anybody know what we're going to do next week?
To be honest,
the last eight games? What is it? How many games we got? How many games we got left? Four games left?
They got five games to go.
Five, that's right. So, I mean, believe
it or not, man, Giants have a lot of problems just like from situational downs. Hey, Carl, you called it out. Carl, when there was a time when it was 3-2 and Giants happened to take a 3-2 and throw a bomb, like a long pass play, and then they come back and kick a field goal. Then there was a time they was in third and seven, and they actually picked it up with a run play. These are just backward plays that you're looking at. Like, how do y'all pick that up on 3rd and 7 with a run play, but can't run a 3rd and 2 and pick up a short yard down? Me and Steve were sitting together when we were discussing that part. That part right there, we're like, Steve, how do they throw a long pass on 3rd and 2 and then kick a field goal? Like, you should have just ran a 3rd and 2 short run play and then came back on 4th down to get it. This is called situational, and then it's starting to become pertinent. That's why I say know your personnel, because even with the simple fact, when the ball's on one hash, on the other side of the hash, they got Golladay on the short side to where he can't even maneuver. So it's very easy to defend that. So you're acting like he's already being double teamed. And y'all got him on a short hash. So why don't you take Golladay and put him on the open side of the field where he can maneuver and work through? These are a lot of problems. Giants have – listen to me, y'all. We can talk about offensive line. There's a lot of problems, big-time problems, bro, that this is bad. Seriously.
Yeah, it is.
This is bad.
It is.
Yeah, they don't manage.
You almost like – go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead, Billy Bob. Finish up. Go ahead. Take it.
Go ahead. No, I was done. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Go ahead, because then come back around to me. Go ahead and take it.
Yeah. I was just going to tell you, like, it's just little simple things that I'm watching, man. Like, I see Ingram on one-on-one coverage, and Glenn is not even looking his way, and that just goes to show you the confidence of our quarterback. Not even looking at your tight end when we even got into the red zone. I told Steve that we was in the red zone. They didn't even look at Ingram. And I'm like, look at them. It was another play where it was crucial. I think it was a 3rd and 6 for Miami. And we happened to have good defense. Love was playing good defense, but it happened to be better offense. But the simple fact that he still went to that man on a 50-50 ball and he made his plays. It was numerous plays. I even seen when number 11 caught a 50-50 play on number 24. I'm watching this. I'm like, we don't even give our players these type of plays like that. And that's why I'm saying it's sad when you can recognize other teams doing it and your team is not even doing it. And then you're looking at your team like, we have the players to do this, and they don't even have the opportunity to, like, get it off. And that was like, wow. That was heartbreaking to watch that up close.
Right. It was. Hey, man, you know.
Look. I think the Chargers won today. And
they did.
They're the thick of things over there in their division in AFC. So they're going to be hungry when they sitting at home next week. And Lady Blue, on our birthday weekend, we have to go play them in their stadium. And I'm not feeling optimistic. And based on – in some ways, this is kind of the worst. This showed the Giants that they're worse today. And you didn't even have Daniel Jones playing. Actually, didn't have anybody else either. I didn't see any Shepherd. Let's see. Adoree Jackson was there. Yeah, it was just bad. And I don't know what to say until the off season comes. That's terrible. Normally, during the off season, yo, I can't wait for football to start. But now, man, I want this carnage to end.
Next weekend we can pray for a birthday miracle.
No, hey, listen to y'all, man. Still at it because this is like making me mad because now I'm starting to think about it even more. Now I'm starting to sit down and settle this whole game. Like, how do y'all not come in here and feature Saquon? I said this was supposed to be a signature game for Saquon. The rest of these games should be a signature game for Saquon. I don't care. These are supposed to be get back games for him, and I'm not seeing none of that. Like, you knew we ain't got no quarterback, so what's the one thing you can rely on? We got a top running back. You could have relied on that and mixed that in with the other couple of playmakers you have, and we didn't even have a scheme.
They didn't. 11 touches. That's what he got today.
Giants didn't even have a scheme, y'all. That's sad. They didn't even have a scheme.
Hey, can I ask y'all a question? Out of all the names that we just talked about that wasn't there, Chris listed off some names. I heard all names. Do they make any difference if they were all in today?
No.
No, not at all.
So that in itself, the problem
it's an indictment.
Isn't the roster.
Yeah.
It's who put that together and who's orchestrating that thing. Because if you bring all your guys off injury reserve and it doesn't make a difference, the problem is bigger than the players.
That's right.
It's a mismanaged group of players. There is no... what's the best way I can put it? There's no
accountability.
That's not the word I'm looking for. If you just look at the offensive players and their skill sets, they don't match up to their names, but they're not the whole.
They're not in sync.
Some of the parts is not greater than the whole, because I think to what Manny Dogs was saying, I think Billy Bob was saying, we're talking about Saquon, right? But they have an offensive line that is structured in such a way where they're not really skilled at anything. So you can't they're not a bruising line.
Yeah.
They're not a zone blocking line. So you've got that issue there. You've got then the receivers who are not really fast, but they don't really catch the ball either consistently. So you've got that issue. You've got the tight end that doesn't really block. So you got that issue. Then you got a quarterback when he actually plays who doesn't. You know, he's got his issues. So they're all sort of – they just have a bunch of names. And that's not how football works. You know, people say, oh, I heard it the other day on the broadcast. I think it was Bob and Carl. They were saying, well, you know, you would take many of the Giants players if you were doing a draft over the Patriots players. And I'm like, wait, that's not how football works. Like, would you take Saquon or Golly? Maybe. But the Patriots, if you watch them tomorrow – they don't have the same group of players, you know, by and large, offensively, but they all fit. All the pieces of the puzzle fit. And the Giants, they don't. The puzzle, you can just tell there's a mismatch in there.
There's because there's a plan in place over there in New England. There's a plan in place. Each and every before they hit the field of battle, they lay out exactly what the agenda is going to be and where the point of attack is going to be and what the end result is going to be.
they sit there with all their coordinators and game plans and film and all of that, and they go over the shit. Now, one of the reasons
because
that
they have good management.
Exactly. And one of the reasons why they're whoever works for them in that Belichick tree goes somewhere else and implodes, one of the reasons for that is that they don't have that to duplicate that kind of system is difficult unless you have the right kind of leader at the top. Now, it would help if you had any kind of leadership, you know? And we just lack it up in that category. We're not going anywhere, man. Not anytime soon.
Yeah. They're on the hamster wheel. That's what it is.
You guys hit on every freaking on point that could have possibly been made today, except for our most viable player, which I think is Graham Cano. And that's pretty much it. It's a ship that's already got damn assholes in it, so it's already begun to sink. So that's the end of that. But I tell you what, I do know. I know we're gonna have to do this again, and we're gonna stay true to our squad. None of us are gonna trade out any of our blue gear. We are not going to friggin'. We're always gonna attend the game. We're gonna hook up our man and lady cave. We just got to do this because we're a glutton for punishment. We are married to this system, and we're not leaving. So, Giants in a way are they could be our church, or they could be our child, or they could be they're not going to be my savior, but we do have a vested interest in it because in them and this organization. Because we love what they represent. Now, we can only get John Harris. Now, enough of that. Okay, so let's go around the room right quick. People got final thoughts they want to convey. And I'm going to start off with the great Lady Blue.
We're all in a very real abusive relationship with our team. It's just, it's a non-ending circle. That's why I wish to God we could force or kind of coerce Belichick away from the Patriots and come home because he should be here. And then maybe we'd see a difference because he is the type of person that knows how strategically to put pieces together. They had that discussion, I think it was during the game or during halftime, where they had a comparison of all the coaches from the Belichick tree. And collectively, when they were all on the team, they did fantastic. While they're all doing their own separate things, only two of them have been good. They all basically suck. And what was the one thing they all had in common? Belichick. So I'm hoping we can bring him home eventually, maybe, but until then, we just have to deal with another year of this shit show like we've been dealing for the past 10 years and just keep going on that rabbit wheel or hamster wheel and the definition of insanity. Other than that, we will always bleed blue.
Bleed blue. Very well said. Thank you, my girl. This team, man, I don't know. So, at C Notes, what else you got on the final?
Well, they showed a number before, as we say goodbye, they showed a number before the game started that the quarterback who started for the Giants, well, I probably should never use his name now for the rest of the season, was like 5-21, and he hasn't won a game in 4 years. And I've got this sneaky suspicion that he may not be winning any games as long as the Giants are starting him the rest of the season. You watch him play. And it's just a bad vibe that go watching him. And
so good.
As long as he's out there, I feel like next Sunday we'll be kind of having a very similar conversation to what we're having right now, sadly.
Yeah. All right. I guess so.
I'm just so disappointed, man. I thought this was going to be one of those raucous kind of podcasts that we were going to have because I was so sure that we was going to win this thing. All right. Dre Graham, how are you, boy?
Man, hey, it is what it is. I really ain't got no last-minute word, except for if you guys still at Lot 22, I'll come through there. Somebody let me know, text me, whatever, get in contact with me. Bleed Blue.
Billy Bob, you in Lot 22?
Yes, I am. You're posted.
Hey. Dre, you got his number?
Yeah,
Dre got my number.
I'm tell everybody I'm going to come through in like 30 minutes.
All right, man. You see him?
I would like some cognac.
All right.
Y'all ain't no good, man. Y'all beat me. I gotta be. Why Lady Blue and I always gotta be the stepchildren, man? Y'all don't save any drinks or nothing for a brother, man. Yeah, awful people here. These stakeholders, it's god awful, god awful. All right. Anyway, Billy Bob, give me a final thought, man.
No, listen to me, bro. It's like I don't even know. It's just like I understand why I get in my feelings. But now I should understand why these seasoned fan holders should be in these feelings. Like the ones that die hard Giants fan, to see y'all come out here and do this here in Lot 22 and come out here and show y'all support like this for this team, my team, and they put this out here on us, man. This is why I get in my feelings. Like it even hurts more because you know why? This was like a workout. I sweat. So if I know I sweat in the summertime, so I know y'all go out there in the cold, freezing, right? This really hurts to see them give us this type of team and they go out here and perform like this. I'm like, I thought I was crazy when I used to sit in front of my TV and get in my feelings. But now I'm like, I did the walk in all the way up the ramp and sweat tears and like people wasting their money for all this for the time and they giving us this.
Yeah.
This ain't cool. Like, I'm trying to sober everything again, but like just sitting here, like taking this in, I'm like the season holders, the fans that go out here. Like, this is my final thoughts. Like, just thinking about this here, and the Giants are doing this.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
And then you know what? And then you know what? I start to come to simple fact. Like, I know why y'all really do this. Y'all do it because of the blood, the fans. Y'all come together. So now I really understand. It ain't even about the football team no more. It just be about the fans, just the Bleed Blue just coming together. Just say, you know what? We just gonna stick together with like just gonna bleed this one out. Like, goodness, man, this is my final thought, man. If you understand how I'm feeling right now, just like, man,
I get you. Go out there to Lot 22, man. Well, you're there. You're there already. Go out there, man, and pop you something and holler with your brothers and sisters, man. So we can find out so I can hear about all of this on Thursday when we meet up again for our AA meeting. All right, Billy Bob. Thank you, man. Stay in those feelings, bro. Hey, Manny Dog, let's start Jake Fromm next week, man.
Listen, man, I'm all about it. I'm all about it. Now, here's what I think we should do. Let's stop putting a scheme together for the guy name on the back of the jersey and put together an offensive game plan for the name on the side of the helmet. That's the problem I'm seeing a lot of NFL teams do. They scheme for, and I've heard Joe Judge say it in press conferences, oh, well, you know, we try to get guys. We got plays designed for guys. Okay, how about we don't do that? How about we let your quarterback go through progressions? You go target A, B, and C. This is your first, second, and third progression. I don't care who's lined up over there, but those are your first, those are your progressions. We keep trying to game plan certain guys and certain plays, and on this play, we're going to go to this guy. Football is not an individual sport. It's a team game, and that's what, when you see everybody talking about Belichick, that's what he does. He puts a system together, that says I can put any player at any position and he's going to perform because it's not about the player. It's not about the player. It's about the play design, and then I'm going to maximize a certain type of player. So if I need a speedy slot guy, I'm going to have three of them. If I need a big power running back, I'm going to have three of them. And you just plug them in, plug them in, plug them in, plug them in, and you run your system. Run your system. Stop trying to be individuals out here. Bleed blue.
Bleed blue. Many dogs, everybody. Hey, do you remember, do you guys remember it was the year that New England beat, who did they beat? They beat the Rams, the unmemorable, the Super Bowl about 4 or 5 years ago that nobody really, there was nothing memorable about it. Julian Edelman won the MVP. But I think they beat the Rams 13-3 or something. It was kind of real boring. Anyway, on the cover of front, one of the running backs for New England, he had a 220-yard game, man. He showed out. He kicked ass that day. I forgot who they played, but he showed up, man, and he blew it up. And I'm gonna tell you why I can't remember his name, because the
Jonas Gray.
Thank you.
Had four touchdowns in the game against the Colts. Didn't play the next week.
Yes, he did. And get this, he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated and Sporting News. ESPN the magazine, and they blew his ass up. He was supposed to be the next great thing. Well, the next week, he showed up late to practice or something, or he didn't get up, or whatever it was. Belichick benched his ass, and you know what, Carl? You must be good at trivia, because none of us has ever seen that dude again.
Yo, get off the show, man. Whoever's still there, get off, man. It's time to go home, man. It's time to go home.
I hear you. What do you want to talk about? This is going to be fun. Hey, goddammit. I was into it. Anyway, you guys, Lady Blue at New York Love 516, called the C-Notes, Dre Graham. We ended here. Again, for everyone, this is the New York Football Giants podcast, the Bleed Blue Show. We had a not-so-successful day today. We fell to the Miami Dolphins. That was funny. So the Miami Dolphins 20-9. Our next game, our next podcast is Thursday to preview the game that we have on Sunday coming against when we travel to L.A. for the game against the Chargers. There's other things happening, too. You guys got to check out. We're going to be doing video calling along with the y'all don't want to see my ugly ass face, but I'm going to try to make it happen, along with the podcast.
Yay.
I understand it works out. I think it worked out pretty well. I missed it. But I won't miss it next time. I guess I'll have to show up and I'll put a mask on or something. One last quick thing,
Chris. Glennon's being evaluated for a concussion.
So I was only joking about Jake Fromm. I got to tell you, Carl, if you really go back, when you look at the game again, or you probably caught it, he looked like he had two different halves, you know? So, yeah. Okay. Nonetheless, Dre Graham, Carl, Lady Blue. Hey, look, you guys. This is the end of the Bleed Blue Show already. Check us out on iTunes, Podcast Republic, Stitcher apps, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. Check out our fan page. And, hey, the video episodes from this particular tailgate and everything that's going down with the frontliners and then Miami is going to be off the chain. You know it is. You know, I mean, this is actually your channel. If you're a New York Giants fan, it was created for you to basically enjoy your pastime, you know. But management real management up in East Rutherford, New Jersey, they have to recognize that we're not going to put up with this shit very much longer. In fact, we're already overdue. I'm going to figure out the master plan, and everyone's going to know. Because those guys up there, the Fat Cat, they're going to have to make this right. We can't suffer like this. This is the New York City market, man. You know, we should be feared. Every fucking body that plays us should go, oh fuck, we got the Giants this week. Hey, let me tell you something. If you, I don't know how old you guys are. I suspect Dre, you're a little bit younger than the most of us. But there was a time, and I hate to put it this way, about 30 years ago, there was a time that you shit in your pants when you saw New York Giants on your schedule. And we need that feeling again, particularly as fans, as stakeholders, as people who are totally invested in everything blue, the history, the successes, everything. We need that back. We need that back. And it's gonna have to take a big movement for these people to listen to us and realize that we are not going. We just can't take this shit any longer, man. You got to make some wholesale changes. We can't invest in Band-Aid, which incidentally is made by the Johnson & Johnson company, the people that you share your stadium with. We got to do something else, man. We need major surgery here. So. But, you know, just don't take us for granted because we bleed blue. And we tell you that all the fucking time. Something's got to happen. Then I'm going to bring it to the rest of the stakeholders in the front line. Is it all the Giant fans around the world? They're going to be at your front door, knocking on your door, demanding change. Probably the cops might have to be called. But let that be if you guys are listening right now, I want you to hear that threat. Because here we come. Bleed blue. Going to sign off. And for Azul, Carl, Lady Blue, Dre Graham, Matty Dog, Billy Bob, Sangre Azul, and I'll see you soon. Bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Blee blue, 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 blee blue.
I want to do the video.